Hello everybody and welcome to Conversation Street. This is episode 174 for the 2nd to the 6th of November. It's bonfire night, it was yesterday at least, but happy one day late bonfire night everybody. I'm Michael.
I'm Gemma.
Hello.
Hello everybody.
Have you had a nice bonfire week, Gemma?
Bonfire week has been one of the greatest weeks of my life.
No, it hasn't.
You don't know. Could have been.
There might be fireworks going off as we're recording this evening.
Because we're on it, yeah. We're zinging.
We tried to tell everyone, look, we're recording a podcast. Don't light your fireworks at this time, but...
No, it's past 10 o'clock. Yeah, let's move on to Corrie history, because it was an explosive week. Oh, yes, 20 years since the Duckworth took over the Rovers.
Wow, explosive.
Explosive. 15 years since the first appearance of nurse Molly Hardcastle. What a vixen. 5 years
just shrugged, she doesn't know who
since Kevin discovered he was the father of Jack Dobbs.
Yeah, and Jack Duckworth found out. He's listening in our conversation.
Was spying.
He was
sad.
Jack was
never
sad because
spy.
Jack knew that he was going to die soon, and he had this little secret now that he's overheard. So sad.
I love secrets. I'd be like, ooh, I can't wait to tell everyone.
Well, even if you were dying, would you?
Blab everything. I'd tell everyone everything.
Tell them what you really
I'd be
think
like, right, queue up everybody. I've got some stuff to tell you. And real life, yeah, it's been 5 years since Anne Reid, Eileen Derbyshire and Barbara Knox received their MBEs. And I don't know what that is. The Queen gives it to you or something.
It's a special award.
What
for
does
being,
it mean?
For being famous.
Do you get to say MBE after your name? Do you get something at the beginning?
No.
I want to be a dame.
Dame Barbara Knox. That's probably what she's got on her dressing room door, but it's unofficial.
I want to be a lady or a dame or a duchess or
you
something.
You are a lady, darling.
I'm not ladies anything, am I? I'm not Lady Bon Bon or whatever.
Well, you better start being famous or something then.
I want to be Lady Bon Bon.
I'd call you that.
He's your pet name for you. Lady Bon Bon. Shall we go on to Street Talk?
Yes.
No one cares. If anyone, by the way, has got any titles they can transfer to me, I'll have it. Moving on. Street talk time. We've got
a million
six
storylines.
Seven, eight, I don't know.
There's lots of love. Episodes again for some reason.
There's lots of love this week.
It
love
is
in the air.
It's all about like wrinkly sex, isn't it?
Krusty Club.
Yeah, it was all that.
Before and after.
I'm sure old people are allowed to have relationships and things.
We haven't explicitly seen anything that forbids it, is what we're saying.
Yeah, but that seems to be a lot of what it was this week.
Well, we had the Kendry and Canessa. Michael's made
I don't
up.
Know whether it's Kendry or Canessa, I can't tell. It looks like it's Canessa this week, but...
I don't think Ken needs anybody. He loves himself enough for everyone else.
He'll have anybody.
Well, yeah.
Audrey, if she
just like,
needs to get
God,
in
there. If I had only known, I would have bumped Deirdre off sooner than this. This is brilliant.
It's turned into a little wrinkly love triangle, hasn't it?
It has a bit. Then we've got Alia and Garia, don't marry her.
Yeah.
I kind of mangled that, but you know what I mean.
That kind of fizzled out in the middle of the week, didn't it? It was like the big storyline at the beginning of the week, and then it's like, now we've gone off.
Gary's gone away.
Gary's gone off to Germany. Alia's gone off to stay with the university friend. It's like, oh, that's the end of that storyline.
Because don't forget, Alia's got a degree, and that means she's better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Then we've got Keith Callum and Carry On.
Gail's back.
I was happy
to see Gail. I was a bit sad that Sarah Lou wasn't there.
The Bartender and the Thief, because we couldn't think of a storyline title for Liz and Tony get back together again.
I said
Bartender and the Thief because it is a Stereophonics song and she's a bartender and he tried to steal the pub of her. But Michael doesn't
you
really
said
get
the line
it.
Says the bartender and the thief are lovers.
Yeah,
so
but Michael doesn't really get it because he doesn't listen to any songs that were made after 1999. Then we have Kindred Spirits, and if
we
you've watched the show,
you
know why it's called that.
Yeah, last week we called it Scary Mary's Paranormal Pal, but we came up with Kindred Spirits as we were recording, and I like that better.
And then...
That was funny this week.
They used the phrase Kindred Spirits in the show, but we would like you to know that we had already decided to call the storyline that before we heard them say it. So if anything, they copied us.
Losing hope, is that was on a little bit at the end of the week. And then there was stuff with Sophie, stuff with Def and Erica. Watch out, everybody.
Def and Erica.
Storyline alert for Erica.
Oh, good.
They've given us something to do, everybody.
She's on the phone to her mum.
Yeah, that's about all that she can do at the moment. But she's possibly romantically entangled with Dev coming up. How exciting. So can we
You've
talk
just
about...
given the whole storyline away that we saw to them.
Let's start off with the Kenessa storyline.
Oh, Kendry.
So
it starts off as Kendry because Audrey is very impressed on Monday that Ken is going to help Emily with her charity work.
Yes, this week is the week when Poppy spontaneously spring up on everybody on TV, isn't it?
I have also bought my lovely new Poppy brooch that I bought a month ago. So do I get some kind of MBE for that?
You get Audrey being impressed with you.
Do I not get an MBE? Do I have how many years I have to do it for?
Many, many years. So she wants to help. Doesn't she want to help Ken out? No, Ken's going to go and help Emily with her charity work.
Yeah, do you want me to say what happens?
Again, Kenessa comes in and she's like, I'm going to help you out, Ken, because I want to get my claws into you.
All the way through this, Kathy is just like, Kenessa is a cow, everyone.
Yes.
These two haven't moved out of middle school when it comes to their relationship with each other. It's like watching Mean Girls. But
I think it's quite funny. What are your impressions of Nessa at the moment?
I quite like her.
I was ready to not like her for some reason, but she's actually a bit of a fresh air, isn't she? Especially like, I almost don't blame Ken if he's picking Nessa over Audrey.
Because Audrey's just like ghosting around him, isn't she? Like, oh, Ken, you're ever so intelligent. Whereas Nessa's like, well, I don't understand any of the words that you just said, but
let's have a glass of wine together.
Let's get some wine and just get drunk.
Yeah.
She knows how to have a good time, does Nessa?
Well, she starts saying how brilliant teachers are. I think maybe this is another reason why I love Nessa. I don't know whether she really believed it or whether it was just...
She just wants to get in his pants. That's what I tell you all the time. Oh, teachers are so great, Michael. I love you.
We work so hard.
Oh, you're so hard working.
We're teaching the nation. We're inspiring the
nation. It doesn't
really
work on Ken because, as he points out, he's retired. He doesn't
Ever since
care.
That incident where I punched Aidan Critchley.
Yeah, I'm a hard-working
gone
teacher.
Gone off teaching a bit.
Yeah, gone off it. In the Rovers, Kathy is telling Audrey how Nessa, she's always been in her shadow since they were young, and that Nessa's divorced, but her husband had a lucky escape a few years back.
Yeah, Nessa's a bit of a man-eater.
She is a bit.
It does make me a bit sad to think that she could just be kind of using Ken and he's going to be left, you know.
I think he'll enjoy it. Gutter. It doesn't matter. Ken and Nessa end up in the Rovers together where they bump into Kathy and then Nessa says, oh, I fancy Ken, as if we didn't know.
Just to make it really clear by the end of the episode.
On Wednesday, Rita gets sad news because it turns out Dennis wants to divorce her.
No.
What a surprise.
Don't do it.
She and Audrey are talking about it in the cubbyhole.
They do that sometimes, don't they? Occasionally they'll just like...
Well,
like when
yeah,
a character's
Leanne's
left.
Leanne had one from Peter, didn't she, at one point?
I can't remember. I remember when Leanne got one from Nick for the first time.
Leanne's
such
she
got
slag.
On her birthday
she's got all these
one,
divorce
yeah.
ones.
It is kind of sad, because I just wish Nick...
Dennis
hasn't left. But anyway...
Anyway, he's gone now and he's never coming back because they snubbed him.
They totally snubbed him.
Nessa and Ken join Rita and Audrey in the cubbyhole and they're like, oh, why are you so sad? And Audrey's like, oh, because I'm short-staffed at the salon. And Nessa says, oh, I'm a trained stylist. I used to work at the posh salon in town.
We wondered whether she was talking about Claudia's for a bit, didn't we? Which could have been a good excuse
it might,
to bring
what,
her back
I don't,
in or whatever.
Oh, she said it was Paul and
somebody in St. Anne's Square,
yeah.
Which is where you can go to visit Jenny McAlpine's restaurant.
They've got good shops there.
Yeah.
She wants to come in for a trial run to help Audrey out, and Audrey really is not interested.
She hasn't got any choice though, has she?
But Ken's encouraging her, so she has to do it to sort of not seem like a big cow.
Yeah, and I did enjoy her at the salon on Thursday, because like I said, she was a bit of a fresh air, because... I mean, David's a bit of a downer, isn't he? Kylie's
They're
completely
miserable
at the moment.
They're all
David,
miserable.
David's not miserable. He's just like sarky, isn't he? But Nessa came in all bright and breezy, and she's like, this is what hairdressers should be like, really.
I tell you what.
Audrey's there just going,
Northerners have pulled the biggest con of all time because they simultaneously like to claim that they're all chipper and cheery and much more friendly than our Southerners, but also that they're all a bunch of miserable moaners. So, which is true?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, I thought it was quite good having Nessa, but she's already kind of being so unprofessional and talking about her love life. Audrey goes into the back to tell her to shut up, and the girl gets up, whose hair... Who's
Audrey was doing her Audrey hair. Audrey was doing her hair,
and the girl
off.
Gets up and runs off without paying. Which but is lucky fair enough. Ken is on the case.
No, they don't get her.
Well, they don't get her, but he goes off and chases after her. Who goes with him? It's
David goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Audrey and Nessa, when they return, both fawn over Ken for being such a hero.
Yeah, good old Ken.
He's loss adjustment. On Friday, Ken tells Audrey that although Christmas will be difficult, he will count his blessings and he has so many dear friends to count on.
Yeah, they talk about the fact that this is going to be his first Christmas alone, but
it's not looking like it. They don't come out with that, though.
No, that's what they're implying, but it looks like he is certainly not going to be on his own this Christmas. He's going to have the pick of the litter.
Sexy. Nessa comes along and starts drooling over him again, and then she starts asking lots of different characters. Like, she asked Mary for information at the salon, and then she asked Roy, and
she wants to find out what makes Ken tick.
And Ken's like, oh, he's such an intellectual and he's a polymath, and she's like, oh, sounds boring. And Kathy comes in and she starts saying, Ken won't stand a chance, you horrible cow. And Nessa's like, I can hear you. And Kathy's like, yes, I know. You can hear me, you slag.
Kathy should just let it lie, because she's got Roy.
Kathy is just so funny. Like, why would you... I don't understand. If you're not interested in, like, dressing up and falling after men and stuff, why would you care that someone else is?
And it's just, like, it's just left over from their childhood, isn't it? Sibling squabblery for...
Scribbling slobbery.
Well,
I'm glad I don't have to worry about that.
No. Audrey, meanwhile, is confessing to Rita that she actually does like Ken as well. And Rita's like, well, getting old, aren't you? Go for it. Go and tell him.
Yeah, go get in there.
Door.
Go on. So, get in there, girl.
So she does. Audrey goes around and she's just about to go and tell him, but it's too late.
Nessa comes downstairs. I do not know where she was. Is it just the bathroom she was in?
I assume so. I don't think she was in Ken's bedroom with her.
Trying on his kimono.
He's not got it anymore, has he? He's thrown it away.
Maybe she's going, oh, it'd be nice if you had a kimono. And they're like, you know what, Nessa, you get me. You really get me.
But I think she's just
Audrey,
been out to the loo.
Audrey goes, because this is awkward. She goes back to the Rovers, really miffed, and tells Rita what happened. And she feels so embarrassed. And then Kathy and Roy come in. Sorry, Nessa and Roy come in together. Yeah. And Audrey says...
No, Nessa and Ken come in. Okay, Kathy and Roy come in together, and Audrey tells them what's been going on. And then, speak of the devil, Ken and Nessa come in, and they're just buying a drink, aren't they? And then Kathy... Flaming out and getting the names wrong tonight. Nessa gives Ken a little kiss on the cheek, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Audrey
going
throws
public
up
already.
Herself. And she goes to the toilet, and Rita finds her. And Audrey says, oh, it sounds like Ken's made his choice.
Yeah. Nicely tiled bathroom, that wasn't
it's it? Lovely.
Good job.
Steve done a bang up job before it all fell down.
Yeah. I think, like I said before, Ken's probably better off with Nessa than Audrey. I honestly can't see Ken and Audrey together. They are totally friends. They've always kind of been friends.
She was friends
with Deirdre.
What Ken needs is a good, hard shag to get rid of all those cobwebs, just blow it out of his hair.
He's more likely to get that from Nessa than Audrey.
Yeah. Air out his gonads for a bit, take him for a walk.
Yeah, now he hasn't got his kimono anymore.
Exactly.
He's on gonads.
Free
probably not get much
easy.
Air out.
Nessa will get him back on track. She'll be a little fling for him. They'll both enjoy themselves. They'll learn new things. And then he can move on with his life.
But honestly, it is too soon, isn't it?
Yes. It's too soon for Audrey and Ken to get together, so maybe it is a good thing that Nessa's elbowed her way in.
Yeah, because Audrey would just look like some kind of man-eater. Because it's like, with Nessa, she didn't know Deirdre. And it's almost like, well, she doesn't know. Well, she obviously does know that he's recently widowed, or widower. But it's like different when you haven't experienced
it. Oh, yeah, when you've met the woman that you're jumping in.
Yeah, exactly.
Her bed.
Exactly.
If you've been around...
Deirdre's barely cold, and Audrey knows that.
Exactly. Audrey'd be like, oh, this is still a bit warm, Ken. Is it a hot water glass or is it still Deirdre's lingering warmth?
So really, as much as Audrey's saying, I felt a bit bad for her when she was talking to Rita going, oh, I think I've fallen for him, and she sounded a bit like a teenager, didn't she? And but she...
They had nothing in common until about 6 months ago.
Well,
they barely ever spoke to each other.
They had the storyline 6 months ago to prove they didn't have anything in common because she couldn't read her book. They didn't really speak to each other. And she said today, oh, we've always kind of liked each other, but I just don't see them as a couple at all.
No, I don't either.
I could imagine starting to see Ken and Nessa as a couple, but I don't think it's going to lead to anything long-lasting. But I just do not think that Ken and Audrey have got that chemistry. And it just seems to me like, God, what are we going to do with Ken now? We've got to pair him up with somebody because I can't think of anything else to do. Who else is old on the street?
Emily?
No, that'd be a bit too weird. Audrey? Yeah, why not?
Well... What about Rita?
Seem a little bit like
Rita
that.
And Ken. See, Rita and Ken make less sense than Audrey and Ken. Don't you think?
They all make more sense.
I don't
sense
think
together.
That Audrey, like, Rita and Ken, never.
Yeah.
Audrey and Ken makes more sense.
Maybe.
There's, literally, she's the only person who's on the street that he would ever go out with. Don't you think?
Oh, I guess so.
Well, they're moving on. To Alia and Gary, because Gary's gone AWOL and Anna can't find him, and he's supposed to be going to Faye's show that evening, but no one knows where he is. Alia's sulking around in the garden, and Zidane comes out and says, look, you've made a mistake, you can't keep dwelling on it, me and Sharif hate you and are going to shame you for the rest of your life, but why are you letting it get you down? So Alia goes and has a shower to prepare herself for the day, and Zidane says, oh, if anyone says anything to you, you just set... I'll beat him up or something. And she says, no, I deserve it. And nothing annoys me more about Alia than how
very self-pitying.
Much she really likes to lay there and take it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And then she'll get annoyed and then go the opposite way, like she did when she went to the bistro.
Yeah, yeah.
So she goes to the factory.
She goes and tells Sinead what's happening, doesn't she?
Yeah, Sinead's really shocked and says, oh, the wedding's still on? And she says, no. And I was asking Jason where Gary is, and he says, go and ask Alia. So she tries to call her, but she won't answer. And so she goes... What?
She goes to the factory in the end, doesn't she? She just kind of storms in there and saying, where is he?
Yeah. She marches into the factory and says, I need to speak to Alia. And Alia's like, cool, wild-eyed and freaky looking. And she says, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell you because everyone's going to find out anyway. It's over. With me and Gary, I slept with someone else. And Anna is completely disgusted. And the factory girl's absolutely thrilled, as you would be.
Well, Eva is like, my Jason, then it turns out.
Yeah, it was Jason, yeah.
He's got a little bit of a...
And Beth says, it's not your Jason anymore, is he? So Anna says, was it worth breaking Gary's heart over a sleazy one-night stand? And Alia just kind of goes away. Mm. She melts into the floor.
Zidane goes after Jason, didn't we? Didn't we say that? The fact that Jason's been clutching his stomach for the past month after the Callum beating. His side. And then Zidane kind of gives him a bit of a beating up.
Well, he goes round
builders.
To
he
looked, see
He was almost going to be a Tina Mark II over the edge of the builder's yard.
Yeah, I thought
point,
he was going
it?
To, yeah. But, he says, you've ruined her life.
Who comes on? Alia happens to be there and spots them in the end.
Look, you need to get into what they actually say, Mel, because it is important. Jason says, I didn't get her drunk and take advantage. It was all her idea, but I'm sorry that, you know, this has caused so much hurt. And Zidane says, no, you've ruined her life. You don't understand about honour and family, which I don't like to hear those things about stuff like this. Jason says, look, it's not my fault. Everyone seems to want to blame him. He didn't do anything... They both did stuff wrong, but I'm not in favour of blaming the person who wasn't in a relationship.
Exactly.
Two people cheat, the blame is more on the person who was already in a relationship.
Yeah, definitely, which is Alia.
But you should never ever cheat, and I do think you're a scumbag if you have relationships with somebody and you know they're going out with someone else. I think you're a scumbag too, but...
I don't really find it very easy to feel sorry for Alia this week. It's
no!
Like, yeah. Kind of brought it on herself, haven't they? But then Alia comes back and manages to drag Zidane off. So meanwhile, the Windasses are still worried about Gary not being there for this play, this Sound of Music play that was going on that Faye was on. And Alia's going to give Gary a piece of her mind when she finds out where he is. Alia and Zidane get home and Sharif is still, he can still barely... bring himself to look at her, he's so ashamed. And Yasmin's just trying to be a peacekeeper between everything.
Sharif spends a lot of time saying, why do you expect everything to be fine? It's not fine. I'm not going to forgive her right away. I'm still upset about it. I love her, but just give me time and space.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like in Star Trek.
So Alia ends up in the bistro in the end, doesn't she, and orders a cocktail. I hate it when people who don't drink end up just saying, oh, I'm going to go and have a drink. It's like, you're not going to like it. You probably won't like it, will you?
You know, might like it. That's what you're scared of.
Well, Andy has been making this amazing, what was it, a lemony cocktail or something? That
a lemony cocktail, yes.
But she doesn't drink it in the end, does she? Because Zidane comes in and rescues
her. Andy
texts Zidane
and says, oh, your sister's getting pissed again.
She's paid me for this drink, so I don't mind whether she drinks it or not. So you better probably come and stop her, you know. So, because of her honour and her purity.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You don't want it. She's bringing shame on the family, Zidane.
She's already got an impure vagina. I don't know what to do with her liver.
Exactly.
don't want to be responsible for that.
Don't get there. Don't go there. So he comes and talks around and they have a little hug.
Yes.
Brilliant. On Wednesday, Izzy has a go at Alia. Good for her. She says, look, we split up because of you. Gary left me for you. And the only consolation was that you were going to get married. And you conned all of us because you're not getting married to him now. You're not as good as you made out.
Yeah, so Alia just kind of spends the rest of the episode kind of whimpering.
And I didn't like this either because Aiden is there being all like, oh, do you want me to sack Izzy for you? Why, Aiden? Shut up. You're no one's friend. Everyone hates you.
He was just trying to have a joke, I think.
No, I don't know what he thinks. He says, I like you more now. I never thought you were a good girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right, isn't he? He's like, he kind of tries to turn her shame into something that she should kind of be proud of. Like, well done, you're a slag.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like, oh, I always knew you were a fake Muslim. Everyone hates religious people anyway.
I know.
Don't you think? It's should we go and get you a bacon sandwich as well? I really like women who throw all of their morals into the wind.
Yeah, I didn't like him in that.
No, it was entirely the wrong thing to say.
Well, she says,
and she didn't seem to really care that he said that. No. I would be so offended if I was her.
Well, she's decided to do something even more dramatic than even eating a bacon sandwich.
So she goes home and throws a tantrum.
Everyone
hates me, I'm moving out. No one supports me in this house anymore.
Yeah, so she's gone off to stay with the university friends. And,
goodbye.
And that's the last we'll see of her for a little while, I suppose.
Well, Yasmin and Zidane are like, don't leave. And Sheriff's like, well, maybe you should go. you should leave.
I feel sorry for Sheriff because like...
I feel sorry for Sheriff because he's of a generation where... He probably is not used to showing all these emotions and things. He's been through a crap year. His son's died.
And he feels like he's had to be responsible. He's now become almost he's the guardian of...
He's the guardian
Alia
of the Muslim
and
faith.
And
no,
he's not...
the guardian of the Muslim faith almost in that house because Zidane and Yasmin have kind of forgiven Alia almost. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gone like, well, you've made a mistake. And everyone's looking at Sharif like as if to say, can you bestow... forgiveness upon her on behalf of Islam. And he's like, well, no, not really. You still did screw up big time here. And I'm really upset about it. And I feel like he probably feels like he's failed her too, because he, like you say,
he's supposed to be looking after her and kind of guiding her.
And literally, Cal's barely cold in his grave, because not forget, he got burned pretty quickly. So he's probably still steaming in a foil.
And a few embers there.
Exactly. Glowing. So. And she's already fallen from grace pretty hard.
Yeah. And so she goes off and then we find out as well at the end of the episode that Gary's in Hamburg with Eddie. Well, Anna says he's with his dad, and probably there was quite a few viewers who were thinking, oh, is he with Owen or something? I expect.
Maybe.
No, he's with Eddie. Probably gorging cakes and crying into them.
No, he's probably eating hamburgers.
No, but Eddie makes some nice big cakes,
doesn't he? I would eat a hamburger if I was in Hamburg.
Well, you got one, haven't you?
Oh, I really want one now. So, Alia, I like it when Anna shouts at Alia. She says, you're ruining Gary's life!
Ah.
But I also do like it when Sheree says... He basically stands up and goes, yes, she is a big slag, but please... respect my house.
Well, exactly. Anna can't just come around screaming abdabs at this poor young girl in someone else's house.
She deserves it, though. I agree with both sides, because really, Alia deserves to be tied to a post and have every single person just scream in their face, going, Alia, you, all you had to do was nothing, and you couldn't do that. What's wrong with you?
I got confused now. So has Alia gone off or not? Because she was in that last bit, wasn't she? Or wasn't she?
I don't know.
I don't even remember. She wasn't in it
just
for the rest of the week
home.
Anyway.
Just go somewhere else. Leave us all alone, Alia.
It's gone slightly different way to the Tim and Sally one, hasn't it, at least? Because we were saying it was a little bit similar.
Well, it doesn't look like they get married, so it's still following that general, will they, won't they?
Yeah. And Izzy's there, kind of saying, oh. She was kind of felt like a bit peeved because... she and Gary had to split up because of Alia, and that's what she was saying. Wasn't she? Yeah. I lost everything.
It's like, listen, also, I'd be like, it wasn't just me that he left. It's the kid as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You broke up a family.
Mm.
And now what have you done?
Yeah,
and
that's nothing. It makes me wonder whether Gary and Izzy will get back together again after all of this. No, the golden couple of the street.
Brilliant.
More scenes for Izzy. It's been such refreshing not having Izzy in all these scenes in the last 6 months.
Oh, good God. Let's move on to Platts.
I don't think that anything really happened in the Platts storyline this week. And it was in it all week, wasn't it? But Gail came back. But
Carly's still upset and David doesn't get it.
Yeah, basically.
Max does a family tree, doesn't want to put his dad on it.
Oh, I thought the family tree stuff was funny when he was saying, oh, I've got so many branches because of all the Gail's ex-husbands.
Hilarious. Carly and Eva get miserable at the bar and they go out together on the lash, and David gets paranoid that she's going to spill the beans when she gets drunk. But fortunately, she manages to keep her mouth shut. She gets home a bit drunk. David is mad at her and she says, the secret's safe, don't worry about it. Then she falls asleep.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday, Carly says, look, Max is going to ask us one day about his dad. What are we going to say? And David says, well, just don't worry about it. We'll worry about it later. That is David's philosophy in life, I think, at the moment.
Well, yeah, for this week.
Then on Friday, Carly reminds David, for all the people that haven't been watching, that they murdered Callum. And he was
interesting that she said, we murdered him.
It's like, oh, yeah, we did,
David
just
said, yeah, exactly.
David had the least to do with the murdering part.
I know, he's just being helpful and doing the cover-up, isn't he?
Exactly, like any one would for their mate.
Maybe that's why. I wonder if he had been, like, there when it happened, or whether he'd have been affected by it more.
Maybe.
And he's just like, well.
I don't know, I think it'd be worse to me if I can imagine feeling more justified about the death of somebody if I had seen them attacking someone and then stopped it, or I was being attacked and someone stopped it.
I don't think David needed any more justification.
Then I would be if I just came along and there was a corpse on the floor and I was like, where shall we put it then, guys? No, what have you got to now, shenanigans? Do you know what I mean? Don't you think it would be more affecting to see a corpse on the floor of your house and have no idea what's happened?
Yeah, I do.
But that's more macabre, isn't it?
It is macabre, but David doesn't really care.
David's
about
not a person.
He's just glad that there was a reason that caused Kylie to kill him, because he's wanted Callum dead for
It really does
win
anyway.
Win
for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Gail comes back with Bethany, but Sarah is still in Milan, and
she had a bit of a freak out at the airport. She was going to come back, but she didn't.
Well, Gail says, oh, she's always sulking all the time. I've never seen her so sulky, even since she was a teenager. And Gail and Bethany don't seem bothered by this behaviour, but obviously this rings alarm bells with Kylie and David, who know why she's been acting like that.
Didn't they agree that she would... Because Sarah was originally going to go there and stay there for good, wasn't she? But they said, look, just go for a few weeks, kind of relax and then come back.
Well, Kylie
wanted
her back because she can't
talk to David.
Oh
yeah, it was Kylie, wasn't it? That's right.
David wants her to go there and bloody stay there.
Yes, that is right. I forgot that.
So, Gail is more excited about the fact she's got a brand new room. So she runs in to see it. So exciting.
It's nice. I was saying to you earlier, we haven't seen the bay window from the front there, have we? I don't know whether they're like seeing how long they can go before they build it, but where the garage door used to be, we haven't seen that yet.
No.
But, it does make me wonder whether we're going to have lots of scenes in that room now, because I assume we will, because it has been built onto the set, hasn't it?
I think there's going to be an exhumation.
Yeah, probably.
That's the only reason they built
Gail
it.
And Gail bedroom scenes.
I wonder if she's going to start hearing things.
Well, like a knocking from below.
Can you not imagine that maybe there would be rats in there eating the body?
Gross.
I mean, if it's connected to a sewer or something, there would be things in there. There would be scurrying and
not going to be able to sleep because of all the.
She'll hear noises, like scratching and scritching, and she'll like track it down to where the thing is. Maybe at first she'll say it's a ghost, and then Kylie will be like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah.
And then she'll realise that it's coming from the.
From the manhole.
From the manhole, and she won't be able to cope with the noise, and then they'll have to dig it up. That's my.
It seems like a lot of effort to dig it up, though, doesn't it? Just because, oh, it's a bit noisy and stuff down there. I don't know. Wouldn't other people just say, well, you have to
the thing is,
the
it's
girl.
Not
you
actually.
You wanted this granny annex.
Yeah, but in real life, yes, perhaps it would be, but in a soap, it's not really that much of a big deal, is it?
Okay. So anyway, they get a
real. Don't forget, they went from literally having nothing there. To deciding to have a room built, to having the room built in the space of about 3 months.
3 weeks, more like.
Well, I was being generous.
They only decided that they wanted it to be done at the beginning of September, I think, and it was built by the end of September.
Anyone who can get building work done in a month is working miracles in this country.
Anyway, they get this visit from Marion again, don't they, later in the episode. She's brought around all Max's toys because she's very tearfully had to have a clear out of her son's flat because it doesn't look like he's coming back. And Gail's like, obviously kind of feeling sorry for her and says, look, let's just have a drink together. And Marion says, I can't stay around. What if David comes? Because the last time I was here, he made his feelings very clear to me. But Gail's like, no, it's fine.
Well, Gail just says, ignore him. He's horrible. No one likes him anyway.
So, but David does come back and he's like, what are you doing here? And it's all a little bit awkward, isn't it? And David's just like, you shouldn't be here. Your son was a git. Please leave.
Well, you forget that Marion asks, can I see Max, please?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
and David says, nope. She wants to go. Of course you can't. Nope.
Well, he does. And Max is like, you're not going to make me see Callum, are you? He's not my dad anymore.
Yeah.
Which is another nail in the coffin for Marion.
And so Marion starts going on about how horrible her life is and how she misses Callum and how horrible David is. And then...
Yeah, Gail takes David into her room because he's been so vile to her, and they come up with this compromise that Marion can see Max every so often as long as somebody's there to look after her, because David's still spinning this line of, oh, what if she goes and runs off with Max and takes him to Callum, which is fair enough. I mean... Although, I mean, it does look so obvious that Marion isn't covering up for Callum. But I suppose it's... why not stick to that line for David? So, but she then decides, no, actually, it's probably for the best if I don't see Max again. I felt so bad for Marion. She was, like, sobbing her heart out, wasn't she? Her world's crashed down around her. And the only thing she had left was Max. And now she's like, it's causing too much trouble.
Because of Callum.
Max hates me, hates the family. It's causing too much trouble. So she has a sad goodbye to Max. And it's all very emotional.
Please text me photos of him.
And then she... closes the door and David's like, what a result.
I know. And
Kylie can't believe it. She's just like, have you got no soul, David?
And David's like, look, she was just collateral damage and she's out of our hair now. Brilliant. And Kylie says, you don't care who you hurt as long as you're winning. And he's like, well, let's get some cans out. And starts drinking beer. And she's like, I'm going to bed.
Don't come with
don't
me.
Don't bother joining me.
So I don't... through all that, I still don't think that anything particularly happened, did it? Gail came back.
I have
back,
to say, but... I do feel on David's side here.
Just leave it. He's there now.
He's dead. He's in a hole. They've got him out of their lives. He was horrible. He was bribing them. He was threatening people.
He was
trying to murder children.
Yeah.
He was a horrible man. He's dead. He's literally never going to hurt them again. Marion was annoying. Now she's gone.
I don't think I could live like knowing... If this had happened to us and you'd killed somebody,
killed
I don't know.
That
and he was underneath
happen.
Our lounge floor right now. And then every Friday we do the podcast and we're sitting here imagining there's this dead body just like 3 feet beneath me. I think that probably would drive me a bit mad.
I'll tell you what, though, if there was an opportunity to dig up the floor, it'd be good to get the pipes under, wouldn't it?
Well, we could do with a bit of redecorating in here, couldn't we? So,
I wonder if we could murder to justify the floors.
We like everybody.
Of course, we would never kill anybody.
We have no enemies.
No. And everyone likes us.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I really can't.
But I mean, Kylie, I suppose you could say, well, I should just don't go in that room then, because it is Gail. How often do I want to go in my mother-in-law's bedroom? Not very often.
So, I do wonder how I'd feel, because I
couldn't do it, not knowing that there was somebody there. It would drive me nuts.
But if he was
gross.
Imagine your worst enemy, though. Wouldn't it be, like, if you really hated someone, you'd be like...
I wouldn't. I couldn't do it. I don't hate anyone.
I've won at last.
I don't hate anyone that much. I couldn't do it.
It's not real life.
I wouldn't be able to walk over the spot. It's like, you know, when I used to walk to school.
I don't know what I would be like then.
To walk past the people's houses, like the people I didn't like at school. I used to like hold my breath as I walked past their houses. Did you ever do that?
What do you mean?
I don't want to breathe the air that goes outside their house.
You little...
That's what I used to
be. Prima Donna.
And I was like, I can't even stand over this manhole.
Really? Really? You used to do that? That's hilarious.
Sometimes.
If I didn't like someone, I used to not go past that house.
Well, I had to go past their house on the way to school. don't want to take a detour. How funny.
You funny thing.
I thought that was a normal thing that children did, obviously.
That is honestly actually weird.
I think I was a bit of a strange
child.
That is
a bit weird. We won't talk about it again.
So Sarah's just got to come back now, doesn't she, for the storyline to progress?
Yeah.
Because
let's not
really
keep
happened.
Going on about it, Coronation Street. I'm saying Coronation Street, let's not just keep having these same
give
scenes
it a rest.
Of Kylie and David. We know David doesn't care and we know Kylie's upset.
Yeah.
Let's now have something to do with Gail or hearing noises, or let's move it on somewhere.
Exactly.
Shall we?
Yeah, really. Since it's the murder has happened, all that's basically happened is Sarah's had a breakdown and nearly confessed. Kylie's got mad at David for not really caring about it, and that is literally...
And Marion's gone forever.
Yeah, and literally that is what's happened in the past, month and a half of this mm-hmm. storyline?
And it's been in it quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't in it last week, but if they haven't got anything to do, then just don't show it. Mm-hmm. Give the other storylines a chance, such as...
Speaking of...
Such as Liz and
Bartender
Tony.
Bartender and the Thief.
I thought I loved all the tiling stuff.
Go on then, you tell us what is so great
about
it.
Well, the ladies' toilet at the Rovers has got a leak in it, and Michelle's like, right, you need to phone up Tony and get him to sort this out, because this pub's half his anyway. And so Liz does, and she's like, oh, I need to. Do you know anyone reliable? Because you're not reliable. But she's kind of half asking him to come, really, doesn't she? And she kind of says, oh, go on then, if you must, you can come and help out. You got
you
me
scamp.
Yeah. So Steve comes back from walking Rover later and he's not happy to see Tony there helping out. So he orders him out of the pub and decides that he is going to be the one to tell the ladies Luke. I think he should have got Luke, because obviously Luke is a tiling expert from that story at
yes.
the beginning of the year. Although actually he got Owen to do it, didn't he? I'll take that back. So Wednesday was the funny bit, because Steve is there in the bathroom and he's got... he's watching it on a tablet, isn't he? This Dab Andy bloke saying, this is how you tile a bathroom. So he's there and he's saying, oh, I got my grout and I got my... I don't even know what the...
He said lots of words.
I've got all my bits
words
and pieces
I'd heard
that I need.
Before, but never together.
And he puts it all up and then all of a sudden they just spontaneously fall off the floor, which is it's not a very realistic thing to happen, but it was jolly funny, I thought. And so Liz is like, right, this is not going anywhere. I'm going to call Tony. So Tony comes round, starts making fun of Steve. And then Steve's like, he shouldn't even be here. So throughout the day, Tony and Liz are kind of reminiscing about the old days and they're kind of wheedling their way back together. I can't believe it. I was just watching the episode going, Liz, what on earth are you doing? After everything
he's done. It's like
watching
somebody in slow motion walking into a wall.
Yet, I don't think it's out of character for Liz to do this.
She
is
that stupid, isn't she?
She just has got this thing for the bad guys. And if she feels that she's got this connection to him, then she'll end up back
she's
with him.
Very
which is
much...
why she kept going back to Jim all these times, yeah. Even whatever he used to do to her.
She's very much a think with your heart
yeah.
kind of a gal.
Yeah. So Thursday then, Tony's still hanging around and trying to charm Liz.
Who's loving it, obviously.
She is. She's like going, oh,
Tony,
no. Tony,
don't flirt with me. It's over between us, you cad.
So he invites her to this Rod Stewart tribute gig.
How can you turn it?
Mate.
How can you turn it down? But she does. I don't know how she could.
Yeah, but she's clearly loving it. And say, oh, I can't go with you. And Michelle's the one that has to get rid of him. So later on, when Tony's all finished, Liz kind of sidles him away to the side of the Rovers and like... pretend that you're not talking to me. I will go to the gig with you. She's so
don't tell anyone else, though.
Yeah, Steve must never know.
On Friday, Liz gets a message from Tony about what they're supposed to be doing tonight, but she pretends to Michelle that it's from Erica and that they're going out later. Then in the back room later on in the day, she's doing herself up and she's wearing a hideous outfit.
It was awful, that sparkly silver top, didn't it?
She looked like... It looked like something a Las Vegas magician would wear.
It's the sort of thing that you shouldn't really wear on TV as well, isn't it? Because all the lighting will probably reflect off it in the wrong way.
Yeah, it's like what a magician's assistant would wear if she was feeling really frumpy and fat. You know, like, I want to wear something sparkly, but I don't want to show my figure off.
It was not good. But anyway, in walks Erica, because
She says, I was going to bend your ear, but it looks like you're going out. And Liz says, yeah, we're going out together. Do you remember, Erica? And Erica goes,
for Michelle's benefit.
Yeah, of course I remember. Let's go.
Erica like, was pretty whatever. Quick with that, wasn't she? Because sometimes they would have that person saying, what do you mean? And then Liz would have to kind of spell it out a bit more. But Erica kind of
Erica's got the a hang good of it straight mate. She's away. Got her back, hasn't she?
But Michelle obviously clearly didn't believe it, did she? Michelle was like giving a look, saying, I don't know what's going on here. But
So Erica then outside tells Liz that she's being stupid. Tony is sneaky and he's going to stab you in the back. And Liz says, but I believe him. He's sorry. And I owe it to myself to give it a go. I'm not ready to give up on him. Please don't tell anyone.
Mm.
Really, she sounds like an idealistic teenager talking about her boyfriend.
It'll be fine again.
Who she's not allowed to see because he brought her home late from the prom or something.
Yeah. So they
her parents don't like him because he smokes.
They go out to this concert and have a lovely time, come back to the builder's yard for a nightcap, and she's just leading him on.
So, I know, she is. She's like, I'm only coming back to get my stuff. Yeah, do you want a drink? Oh, only one.
She was playing a bit hard to get in earlier on in the evening, but the rest of it, she's just like, and then he goes in for a kiss and she's like, no.
No, you can't have this.
Can't have this.
Oh, yeah. And then she does that thing where she licks her finger and rubs it on herself and goes, tss. And then walks out.
Yeah, and
she almost gets rumbled again in the Rovers because Sean says, oh, I saw Erica and Dev in the bistro together, but I thought you were together.
Yeah,
and she's like, Sean, you little.
Yeah. I was surprised that I was expecting like another scene then between Michelle and Liz at the end saying, look,
there's
something fishy going on this morning and now this, what's going on?
She'll get a Michelle grade lecture, I'm sure.
I like Michelle now. At the moment, I do. I like Michelle.
Lady, what do you think you're playing at? Man broke your heart and tried to steal Steve's pub right from under his nose.
I just didn't like Michelle when she was being horrible to Steve, and she's not really anymore, so...
It's because he's got depression, okay? He's ill.
I just like the looks of disbelief she gives sometimes. Sometimes it's with Steve's stupid stories, and now it's with Liz's stupid stories. Michelle just goes...
Michelle should just go to Liz, I don't care what you do, okay? You're a grown woman. Just leave me out of it and stop lying to me.
She doesn't want to have Tony around, though, because if Tony and Liz get back together, then he's going to be sniffing around the pub again more.
No, I know, but at the same time, the look she was giving Liz wasn't one of, oh, my God, what are you up to now? It was more a case of, why do you think I care what you do?
It was a bit, wasn't it? You're right. Mm.
And it would be funnier if that was her reaction.
Mm. So, are they going to, like, make it public, do you think? Or is it going to be their little secret romance? I suppose it's going to have to be for Steve's sake. But then if they're going to make a thing of it, then they've got to come out and say something.
I wonder if he might end up having an affair again where he starts going out with someone else to try to cover that he's going out with Liz. And then he can say, well, you don't want to go public with us, so I thought we were free agents. And then she'll get mad at him again.
I suppose so. I'm just waiting to see Simon Gregson is not going to be in it for much longer because he's going to be coming up to the time when he's been off sick soon, isn't he?
Mm.
And obviously he must have gone off sick fairly abruptly. So it's not like I don't think it's going to be the case that he finds out about Liz and Tony and then goes off to see Andy.
I'm going to see my brother.
I don't know how quickly Simon Gregson left, whether it was like, I finished filming one day and I can't come back, whether it was planned in. I don't know.
We don't know.
Do not know anything. Here's another romance now. The Kindred romance. Spirits. Kind of romance, isn't it? They're kind of at the friends stage still at the moment. It's quite sweet. This is my favourite one this
ghost
week.
Ghost stories. And I found it hilarious that pretty much everything they said was actually
I know. They were making all these references and you were like, I know that person. About. I know that book.
That's a good
book. I know that exact case that they're referring to talking about.
So there you go. This makes me wonder why they can be so accurate about ghosts and aliens, but yet sometimes we're watching things where they're talking about schools and stuff, going, that would never happen. That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Like Brian's having his breakfast in the cafe at 8:30 in the morning or whatever.
Never would happen.
So did you feel at all this week that your hobbies and interests were being
belittled
and made fun
maybe
of and
made
mocked
fun
a
of.
Little bit?
I think it's funny. Yeah, I don't care. I think it's funny.
It was funny.
So on Monday, Norris is teasing Mary, but she reminds him that he thought that Blanche was a ghost, so he can't complain about her supernatural beliefs.
Yeah, but he's like, well, that was the thing that kind of tipped me over the edge and made me realise it was all a load of bunkum.
Then she says, you're just jealous. And she gets worked up. And so Dev asks her out for a drink. Then Brendan asks her out for a drink because he's got to go off to get the first edition of Communion. Excellent book.
That is something you've heard
it's
of, is it?
Yeah, it's a book about the guy that got abducted, Travis Walton, whatever his name is. He got abducted in the forest. He got beamed up by a blimmin' alien spaceship, Michael, and you don't even know anything about it. It's like one of the most hysterical things that ever happened in real life.
Hysterical.
Norris reminds her that she's already got a date, and she says Brendan will understand that she is a woman in demand.
Yeah, so Dev ends up really turning up early, doesn't
she? She doesn't like it when Dev turns up early because it throws it off guard somewhat.
Mm. Well, she ends up sitting with Brendan for most of the evening.
Well, she blows Dev off, doesn't she?
Yeah, really? But Norris just spends the evening getting ratty, doesn't he? Because seems to be jealous that Mary's no longer had a falling out him. Although Mary hasn't had a thing for Norris for quite a while, has she? She used to be sort of strangely romantic with him, but that hasn't happened for a bit. But he doesn't like the idea that she's.
I got the name of the person wrong. Who was in Communion? Oh, it was Ridley Streber.
Oh, sorry.
I was wrong.
You just looked it up on the internet on your phone, didn't you? It didn't just come to you.
No.
Dev's not really first. He just carries on with his paper. Now Brendan keeps getting calls from his mother, so this is something that he and Mary have in common. Annoying
and
mothers.
Also Erica.
Oh yeah, Erica this week. Yeah.
Everyone's got an annoying mum on the end of the phone.
Mm. So Thursday was the day when they went off to this ghost house thing. We didn't write down where it was. Was it Butterworth Hall or Butterton or something? And we thought it was somewhere that we went to in Manchester, but I think it turns out we didn't. You can look it up on the internet if you know what it's called. And they like do ghost tours and whatnot there. Mary is just beside herself with excitement on Thursday. And sometimes I find Mary irritating and not that funny. But this week I thought she had loads of funny lines talking about her mum and everything. And she was, even Brendan was getting a little bit annoyed by her wittering on as they were like creeping up the stairs and everything, and he was trying to set the mood by describing what used to go on there. Because wasn't it supposed to be the place that Guy Fawkes stayed in or something, so it was all topical for Bonfire Night. And they go into their room, and he's got his, what's the little ghost meter called? ECG meter, is it, or something?
Like
the Ghostbusters had, and it's kind of beeping away there, and it's all so silly, and obviously the kind of history of making huge fun of the whole notion of the ghost hunting. And then the door handle starts turning, they kind of scaredly go up to it, and then it bursts open, and it's Dev there.
Now
looking
that is
evil.
Scarier than a ghost,
because who was it that Mel Sophie put the frighteners on Dev to say, oh, somebody else who... Oh, because Mary wasn't allowed to take her phone, was she? And Sophie said, oh, I heard someone who didn't take their phone when they went off somewhere and they ended up dead.
Dead.
They turned into Dev. So, yeah, Dev goes and rescues her, and Mary's a bit annoyed later, but they all kind of make up in the end, don't they?
Yes.
It was just funny little story. It was a little bit of fluff.
I do like the ghosty stuff. It makes me laugh.
What do you think of the character? He seems
know anything about him.
He seems like he's a bit of a Brian kind of character, isn't he?
He really does seem like a bumbling kind of middle-aged man who doesn't really.
Which kind of makes me think they shouldn't have got rid of Brian. They could have just got him interested in it. He seems like he's the sort of person that I could like, but I don't know how long he's going to be in it. I do like the idea that maybe Mary might have a partner. I mean, it's all very well saying that she's kind of forever the spinster, and that's kind of her personality, and she's the lonely, sad, old, crazy woman. But it's about time that she had a bit of a change in her
life. I just don't know, where's the rush this week? They seem to be really trying to get Audrey and Ken together, or Ken and Nessa. Then you've got Dev and Erica,
Tony.
Liz and Tony... Mary and Brendan.
It was the week of romance this week.
Hookup week.
There's something in the air in Weatherfield.
Something's going on.
Yeah, and it's
that's why Gary's better off in Germany.
Yeah, the Hope cancer storyline was a bit of a
pleasant fresh air.
Relief, wasn't it? Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Let's have more like this.
So Tyrone's still strapped for cash, and he's like, look, can you buy him a share of my business off me?
To Kevin,
yeah, just so that I can pay for this Lapland trip.
That we're not going on.
Yeah, and this is when Fizz happens to walk in and she hears that he has not cancelled the Lapland trip. So she gets mad. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Every time at the moment Fizz gets mad, I think, oh no, here we go. They're gonna have a falling out and we're gonna have weeks of them hating each other. But it has always resolved, and I'm really so happy that always the storylines end up with him having a nice cuddle on the sofa. It's as much as it's a child cancer storyline, it is a bit of a feel-good family storyline as well, isn't it?
Are you kidding me?
Well, it is. It's strengthening the relationship between Tyrone and Fizz, I think.
I don't. Okay.
As cheesy as it's going to be, the whole best Christmas ever thing probably will be quite nice. And the best.
No, it won't. It'll be blimmin' tragic because they'll zoom in on her little face probably. She won't live to next year.
No, I think she's going to die. Because the stuff that they did with Bonfire Night was quite sweet, wasn't it? Because Hope wants to go out to the Red Wreck Bonfire Night, but Fizz is like, oh, she can't go because she's still in. She's still
getting over the infection
and she's had a chemo and everything. So Tyrone's like, right, I'm going to make sure she has the best bonfire night ever. And what has to do that by getting a couple of sparklers and a Catherine wheel. Yeah. So it's a bit tragic, really.
When Tyrone says the best blah ever, he means the last blah ever.
The last few blahs in the shop. I'm going to buy them and then bring them around.
No, I mean, I'll make sure she'll have the last fireworks night of her life.
Yeah, but it won't be, will it? Because she'll be fine, I'm sure.
But,
they're there, spelling out their names in the sparklers.
It was kind of cute how
Sinead
Ruby
and Craig and round and what.
It was cute how Ruby and Hope tried to escape with their little coats and hats on.
That was so funny.
It's like, Ruby, this was your idea, wasn't it?
I thought it was funny today when they went to see Tyrone at the garage and then Tyrone was waving and Ruby was like, bye, and then Jenny McAlpine
come on, kid.
Get this way up.
Diva, you're not upstaging me. Anyway, Tyrone said, Fizz says to Tyrone at the end of Thursday, that was the best bonfire night ever. I'm sorry. And Ty says, I'm going to bring Lapland to them and give Hope the last Christmas
best
of her
Christmas
life.
Christmas ever.
Sorry, the best Christmas
of
her life.
That's all happy. And then he picks up Hope's hat and oh, there's a clump of hair in it.
And then he acts.
Clump of chemo hair.
Really, really badly.
Yeah, Alan Hustle, that was not your best scene at the end of Thursday's episode.
I was unimpressed to the point of rewinding it to watch it again just to make sure that I wasn't being overly harsh, and I don't think I was, because Michael spoke to someone at his work and they also thought the same thing.
Yeah.
That scene was, if you can't do it, if it doesn't come off authentically, just ditch the scene.
I don't think that he has to have that kind of storyline very much, though, does he? Because he's like the cheery, chaffy kind of family man, and he does all the kind of nice.
The thing is, it should be like
lines.
A super juxtapositioning of like normal, happy-go-lucky Tyrone transformed into like a sobbing wreck of a man. But really, it just looked like Alan Halsall desperately
better,
wishing he didn't have to carry this scene.
I'm trying to remember what was it like when Kirsty hit me with a Hoover. Can I bring back those
I need Fizz to beat me with something. He's one of these people in Corrie that I like having around, and I don't say anything bad about him normally. He's just a bit slightly boring.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's up to these scenes.
Not really. Which is a shame, because I do like it when they have.
They need to work.
They should have more storylines, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. They need to work with the limitations that they've got. Fizz handled it well. She was like, "Oh, don't cry, don't cry, love," or something.
Yeah.
She just played it to her ability, which was a low key kind of twisting of the mouth.
I think it was good that Fizz saw that he really does feel bad about everything, because I think in the back of her mind she's probably still thinking, this is my daughter that's got this, not yours, and how can you're not really sad about this. But she would have seen from this that actually it is affecting him quite a bit. Friday, nothing, there's not a huge lot that happened. Fizz, Hope got asked by one of her friends if she's gonna die like her nana, so that was a bit rubbish. And Fizz
Fizz has to say to her, no.
Yeah, more angst.
The nan was old.
Yeah.
But the doctors are going to look after you because no one likes old people.
And then the end of the episode was the cosy sofa bonding time together.
And like, by that, we don't mean sex. We mean this? just chatting.
Yeah, it's chatting and a hug. Cozy.
Cozy, warm.
Yeah, and saying that, oh, she's got her chemo again next week.
Oh, good.
Because, yeah, she had to have a special milkshake today, didn't she, with ice cubes in, because she... I think it was kind of referring to the fact when one of the times when my mum had chemo, she had ulcers all around her mouth it gave her, and horrible. It was like all down both sides of her mouth, so I don't know whether that's common and whether that's saying what Hope's got.
Nice bit of realism there. I really like the way they put the mouth ulcers and the hair loss in.
They probably, yeah, like when they talk to the charities about what happens, what are the symptoms? Get it in there.
But the thing is, though...
It did make me wonder, like... Are they going to shave her head off or a hair
shave
off?
Shave her head off.
A hair off.
Sorry, you've got brain cancer now. You'll have to amputate your head.
Hayley never lost her hair, did she? They never did that.
It was a wig all along, Michael.
You know what I mean? But like that's going to prove. This is the test to see whether the actress who plays Hope is really into
this
part.
I'm sorry, but no way.
No, they won't, will they?
I'm just picturing her in a little bald cap as well, and it doesn't work.
So insensitive.
They should put, like, they should just give her a bonnet or something, you know, like I can almost imagine her in a little pilgrim hat, you know, like a little...
Maybe they'll do that, I don't know.
Grandma Wolf out of Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
You know, wearing the grandma cap.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But look, I don't need it to go, can we stop the storyline now, please?
It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going until Christmas and then it'll stop.
I want them to go... Oh, turns out they got the results wrong. And actually, your friend Poppy's going to die of cancer sooner than you would have because she's not had any treatment.
Yeah.
NHS saying, oh, at least it's free.
Sophie, can we just
Let's
quickly...
move on.
She's 21. Happy birthday to Sophie. You've got 21% share of the garage. And which is going to open up in this new big place.
Brilliant.
Just behind.
Tyrone buys her a hammer.
Well, you got to have a hammer, haven't you? I like the scene where on Thursday where she handed in a notice to Deb and he was obviously shocked straight away, but he was really supportive in the end. He's like saying, oh, I knew that this day would come.
I couldn't believe how much of an asset he believes her to be to the shop.
Because you're so good with the customers,
Sophie. But I can't believe it. The sale of custard creams is going to decrease by 20% at least.
Sophie's
not... Like, seriously, she's one of the worst shop assistants, and I've been to terrible shops before. She is one of the worst shop assistants that has ever been in that store.
I know.
She's rude to everybody. She's miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty
She's
rubbish.
Horrible. She should be thanking his lucky stars he got rid of her. He's like, thank God you're going, because I couldn't think of a way of firing you.
I'm kind of glad for Sophie that she's kind of taking a step up in the world and is going to be part of the business.
Another thing for her to moan about. Oh, they haven't paid their invoices.
But it is going to lead into Erica now working at the shop, which is kind of our final little mini storyline, because Dev suddenly decided today, oh, that Erica.
Don't you think Dev does this every now and then? He suddenly notices a woman, he's like, I must have her.
Yeah, that's because I'm so irresistible.
Well, Kevin doesn't think that he is a catch for Erica.
No, but Dev's like, I'm going to prove it wrong. Come out for a drink with me, Erica. So they do. They go out for a date, but she spends most of the time talking about her crazy mother and brother and everything.
He should say, you don't know crazy until your girlfriend tried to kill you on your wedding day and blew up your shop.
Yeah. So she's going to work in the shop because finally Brilliant. They've actually found something to do. So rather than her just hanging around in the Rover sometime, now she can also hang around in the shop sometime. And I think probably it's going to be good for her. I think I can see her as being quite a nice, chatty, friendly shop assistant.
Yeah, there's really worse things she could do.
The complete opposite for Sophie.
Ugh.
I think, to be honest, I'd rather they just got rid of Erica. She adds nothing to the show to me.
She's better than some people.
She just seems pointless. At least the other people that we don't like, they give them something to do. But Erica just has had no role.
Erica's got Liz's back, okay?
Barely. Not even that really much at the moment. But she's just not done anything. She's been in like 10 months now or so, hasn't she? I don't know.
I don't mind her. But, you know, okay. Takes all sorts.
I'm going to have Mary as my character of the week this
Me
week.
Me too. I was going to pick her, yeah.
She was just absolutely hilarious this week, getting all excited about the ghost stuff. Lots of funny anecdotes about her mum, none of which I can remember now, sadly. And yeah, just nice to see the relationship with Brendan blossoming.
And putting Norris in his place too.
Yeah.
Norris seems to think he's like the castrated cockerel of the street, and his little harem of like Emily, Rita and Mary, and nobody's allowed to go out with him because he's like the man.
He is protecting their purity.
He is, yeah. he's just waiting for him to like fan his little tail feathers out and start trying to intimidate Brendan with his wings.
Mary, we say.
Mary.
Right, let's move on and do some listener questions. It is time for our monthly listener question slot, and we've got two questions this week, but with some of the people are asking the same thing, so we kind of bundled those together into one question. And it's to do with the businesses on the street, because we had Brianti who asked, of all the businesses that are near or near the street, which one would you get rid of, and what kind of business would you add onto the street? And we also had a new listener called Stephanie writing in, asking us, I think, very similar. And we had Christina ask, I've been thinking recently that we need another shop away from the street, or another building away from the street. Years ago we had the town hall, car showroom, Fresh Coast. What building would you like to see the residents use or work in? So I kind of think they're all kind of asking a similar thing. What do we need on the street? What do we need away from the street?
Now last year, or over a year, I can't remember, we said that they should add a gym.
We did predict the gym, didn't we? I'm sure we did.
We did.
Before it happened.
So
are you happy with how that's turned out?
It is a nest of Nazirs at the moment, which is okay, except I don't like Bali anymore.
I think nest is a right word, because it is rather tiny, isn't it? It's like,
there seems to be like two treadmills,
yeah,
an elliptical, and a reception
desk.
They need
to put some mirrors in there or something, don't they, to make it look bigger than it
actually
is. I want
them to just get a room that's a class, for classes. I want to see you doing classes.
Because literally all you ever see people doing on the gym is, yeah, a bit of mat work and a bit of a stepping.
Didn't Dev's girlfriend, or whoever that hippie was, she was supposed to be yoga teacher.
Mm. Yeah. I'm fairly happy with how the gym's turned out, but I mean, there's only so much talking that people can do and when they're on the treadmill. There's been a few funny scenes there, but I mean, it's not been a bad addition.
They should be practicing high intensity interval training and therefore be unable to speak during their reps.
Oh yeah, of course. That's what happens when we do our exercise DVDs together, doesn't it? I try to talk to you and you're just like, shut up,
you shouldn't be able to talk.
I just wonder whether there's too many kind of businesses and shops on the street as it is. I mean,
well, we've got the Bistro and the Rovers, haven't we? And really they're very interchangeable when it comes to whether a character goes there or the other place.
I would really want to get rid of the Bistro.
I don't. I like it.
I mean, I
don't mind there being two places.
It's been there for like 5 years, or it was obviously the joinery at the time of the tram crash. I don't like there being two places.
But the thing is, though, before that, ages ago, there was that Italian place that they always used to go to.
Yeah, I know. There's been Delphine's, there's been The Clock, there's been a few places. But there have been places that they've gone to for it, that's been featured in stories for a year or two, and then they don't go there again. But now that there's actually somewhere installed on the street, it's like, we are only going to see the Bistro now. Until they get rid of the Bistro, everyone's going to go to the Bistro. And it just seems to me as well that it's really unrealistic, the amount of times that people go to the Bistro and they still think it's a treat to go to the Bistro for dinner, even though probably most people who live on Coronation Street eat dinner there like once a week.
I'm so jealous.
I know, but I think it's too like classy for Coronation Street, and it's not like I want to go back to the kind of grotty grim days of the 60s and everyone's working on minimum wage or whatever.
£3.85.
Yeah, that's what you get for working in the cabin, isn't it? Not the cabin, the corner shop. But it's like, I don't think it fits with Coronation Street having somewhere that's kind of classy like that. And it also doesn't help that it's Nick that runs it, who's a little bit boring. I mean, Steph's the saving grace, and Andy as well, I suppose, although not so much him. But I honestly, if the Bistro was to blow up again and have another tram crash, I wouldn't mind, and I'd say don't bother reopening it again.
But the thing is, I feel kind of the same way about the corner shop and the cabin.
That's sacrilege.
Like, really, why are there two?
Because they've always been there. Well, the cabin hasn't always been there, but it's long enough to say that it's always been there.
Why
you can't buy
Dev
newspapers at Dev's.
Dev should just get a rack of magazines in and just go to Norris and Rita.
They do both seem like they're not really needed, but
get rid of them and get a Fresh Goes in
there. It makes me think maybe that, like, when Rita and Norris are eventually not in it anymore, maybe that would be a time for the cabin to bow out, but it'd be a bit of a shame because
I don't agree that they should go. I'm just saying to you, your all your arguments about the pub and the bistro are kind of, you could say the similar thing about having two corner shops.
Maybe that's right, and it's just that they're both iconic.
I mean, what businesses have we got? We've got the gym. Is the Chippy still even there?
The Chippy is there.
They should get rid of it then.
I think if it's not the bistro, then the Chippy get rid of, because they talk about, I'm going to go and get some chips, and we see them eating chips, but now that
they... Who serves them the chips?
Well, exactly. I don't know whether it's Mr. Wong anymore, which it used to be when Scylla and Yana used to work there, and there were some funny story... Well, not story lines,
yeah,
funny
liked
scenes
it when
in the chip
was
shop.
Working there. That was funny.
That was funny, but it seems like a bit of a waste of space now, especially with the kebab place just kind of opposite almost. They're not really both needed.
I want them to open a catering... I've said this before, a catering company.
What? How would you mean?
Do you recall a show that featured a factory and a machine called Bertha? Lovely Bertha.
Yeah, I do remember that show.
I think they should get a factory in with Big Bertha in there, just churning out anything.
Food. Are you still talking about catering?
Food, whatever.
I quite like them to like...
A magical machine...
I
see, it's not far-fetched anymore, Michael, because we've got 3D printers.
Oh, yeah, 3D printers.
Big Bertha could be a 3D printers. That would actually be really cool if they had a 3D printing shop.
But they don't really exist, do they, 3D
no,
printing
they
shop?
Don't
Maybe
really
in 10
exist.
Years or whatever.
And if they did exist, would they start up in Weatherfield? It seems unlikely.
Well, if they've got the bistro, it's obviously raising the tone of the neighbourhood.
About a dog grooming parlour?
Something like that isn't beyond the realms of possibility, what with Chesney and Kirk and everything. The thing is, if you're going to open another business, the best places are places where the characters are going to naturally congregate.
Yeah, they're not going to be congregating in a pet sanctuary or a parlour.
We're going to have, like, Ken and Maria there and...
Maria's doing the dog's hair, you mean?
Oh, yeah, she could be there, isn't she? So, I mean, that could be a possible thing. Or, like, a florist.
A florist would be good.
Because Tracy could go back, but then she's...
Always weddings and funerals to cater for.
Yeah, but again, it's not the kind of place that you go to very often. I mean, there's not... We never go out anyway, do we? We're not very well-versed to talk about. Where do adults go and congregate? I've got no idea. I mean, if it was a children's place, then like putting in an arcade or something, do they still have those? Not so much anymore.
See, you've also suggested ice cream parlour.
Yes.
And I kind of scoffed at that idea for a moment. But then I realised that in... our own fair city that we live in now, that four have opened in the past year.
Yes, that's what I thought when I wrote ice cream parlour in the notes. I think that would work. And I mean,
but then
yeah, we've got loads that are spring up and all the students are going there. And but it's not just students that go there. And
yeah,
I think
they let us in as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that an ice cream parlour would be quite a fun place. And everyone would go there.
And why can't we have some... business woes about ice cream for once instead of pants. Like, oh no, what are we going to do? It's winter.
Oh, the freezer's broke.
What should we do? Let's make a mince pie version. Oh, what a brilliant idea, Ruth, or whatever your name is.
Yeah, and that could be somewhere that the likes of Steph or Andy or Luke or Maria and that could, or Sinead, the people of that kind of age could hang out. That could be quite a good place. Speaking of Sinead, I mean, there's also the option of like her opening a soap shop or like a craft shop. You know,
I don't see why not.
She's not really into that again at the moment, but I would...
Candles and all that crap.
Or people like, you know those shops where you can go and like paint a mug or paint a
yeah,
bowl
it's a
or
pottery.
Something.
Yeah, but then again, once you've done it once or twice,
yeah.
Do you ever want to go again?
Yeah, maybe
not
that's
really.
Not the kind of place that residents want to go back to. Or and what about like... you know these pop-up shops they have, so it's like this month it's an ice cream parlour, and next month it's a dog grooming place, and the next month it's a whatever.
No, you don't get the spirit of a pop-up shop. It's got to be for hipsters. It's got to be like, this month it's reclaim vintage jeans from 1889 and onwards.
Next
week
that.
We're doing distilled Weatherfield gin that was made within 50 foot of this very premises.
They could just like if they needed a storyline to fill, they could say, well,
This month is Movember. We're having a beard parlour.
This month it's an official mule face outlet store.
Yes.
That's a hipster story.
They're selling them for 50 quid each. It's a steal.
So that could be an option for if you just want to have any storyline, just put whatever in. What about if it was a business? Because that's a lot of retail, isn't it? We've talked about the idea of a call centre before, like to replace the factory if we get so fed up of knicker-based storylines, but...
What about a police station? And then they can slowly just merge it in with the bill.
I don't like police characters or police storylines in it. That can stay away. People have also suggested the idea of like a Fresh Go Express, because that's not unlike what's actually happening, isn't it? Because we're having Tesco Expresses and little co-ops and things popping up a lot more and taking away from like family businesses. Yeah. And I like the idea of Fresh Go's as... like a made-up business in Coronation Street land that they all go to, but we never see it anymore. They used to have loads of scenes
at
Better Buys or Furman's or whatever, but now Fresh Goes is gone. All we see of it is the bags. And I quite like in the old episodes when they would film all these kind of scenes in an actual supermarket.
Yeah, I agree.
It just made
with
it feel a bit more
like
real because it wasn't a set.
I think that they should have a Fresh Goes Express and there should be an actual plot around like Dev and Norris and everyone getting mad that they've opened and like having price wars and
yeah and this is what happens, isn't it? It's very real life that the big businesses come in with their little shops and they push out the small shopkeepers, and it'd be quite a bold storyline to have the Fresh Goes Express win.
Why don't we
kick out the established curry kind of landmarks of the cabin?
Why don't we just go further with this and have them open a McDonald's or a Starbucks or both?
Now that would be ultimate product placement, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Once you've done that, they're not going to be able to back down.
But the
down,
thing
though.
Is, they wouldn't be able to do a Starbucks product placement because Norris and Rita and everything would be like, what's the frappe crappe nappe necco macchiato when it's at
Think
home?
Think of all the comedy potential of that.
So much comedy.
I tell you what other shops are popping up recently. Vape shops and e-cigarettes.
No.
They're coming up all over the place. And I still think that one day they're going to have a storyline. Or they would have done.
They will have a storyline with vaping in it, but I can't imagine them having a vape shop.
No.
Because a lot of characters would have to start smoking for that to make any sense.
Yeah, okay, maybe you're right. What about like how about like a Whole Foods or something? Like, you know, Coronation Street is
all... You don't mean
all...
an actual Whole Foods, do you?
No, you know, like a...
Just a shop that sells from bins
healthy,
and nuts.
Healthy foods and yeah,
vegans.
Nuts and grains and things.
Vegans all over
because
the place.
Because Coronation Street's all like, we're environmentally friendly. Look at all these green awards that we're getting. And that would kind of...
But yet again, it's another thing that doesn't really mesh with their northern no-nonsense nature. Like, who wants to buy mung beans anyway? What do you do with them? Can you even eat them? Oh,
well,
no, just get me a pasty.
Maybe it'll make them see their ways and it'll go healthy. You can kind of see that it's the kind of thing that they would put in as an issue storyline and it wouldn't really go anywhere. Like when Claire was doing that, let's clean up Weatherfield storyline. It's like, yeah. So
okay, bit, you do that.
A bit rubbish, actually. What about like away from Weatherfield, apart from a supermarket? I could only really think of like a church as a congregation place.
I mean, the only place is like a community centre, but
we've already built one of those,
and it's really not big enough.
It's not, it's tiny. It could
be
expanded.
It's just a giant room, isn't it?
And they haven't really done much there, have they? It's like, let's do art classes there. What can we do now?
I don't get my head around what it is that they're running. It just seems like they've rented a place and they're not making any money out of it.
No, and it's like anything
like,
goes there, please, we will accept anyone.
Here's our little sink area. Here's our little IKEA.
Here's a little bookshelf.
Here's
where we make the tea.
Yeah. And that's it.
It seemed like a good idea at the time to have a community centre.
It needs to be bigger.
I'm glad that they've got these art classes in there now.
How about a college or something? They can have a character who works there or something, and they can have classes, and they can attach it to the...
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I'd quite like to see more of Billy at church.
I want to see more Billy scenes at church.
Well, this Christmas, this is when
it doesn't feel like it's a very progressive story. Like, in this country especially, not only are we not religious on the whole, but we also don't really wear it on our sleeves or talk about it very much. And I don't see that you would really get much mileage out of having a church.
No, I know.
Because you would alienate a lot more people than would enjoy. And then you'd have to have all of the issues, scenes that and storylines that we've had with other Christian characters where their faith's called into question or, you know, and it's not a very pro-religion thing. So the people that would be interested in it, i.e. the religious people that would connect and jibe with the idea of going to church, then would be annoyed because it would be like, oh, no, let's remember that Sophie's a lesbian again, or Billy's gay. Yeah, there didn't seem to be any straight Christians, apart from Emily.
So, did we come to some kind of conclusion? I still think, I think out of all of those, my favourite idea is the ice cream parlour.
I don't, why don't they just
lots
have...
lots of people would be able to go there, and it'd be lots of fun, it'd be Brighton.
A knick-knack shop that sells stuff from Chesney with his, because Chesney had his business selling
dog collars
and stuff. He can sell dog collars.
Is that not a bit like too much like Barlow's Bodies?
No, because there's second-hand stuff, isn't it?
Okay, so this is like a crafty shop you're thinking of.
Like, you know, the sort of thing where you go to Brighton and it's like, what does this shop sell? Oh, exactly the same as every other shop. Funny little magnets and books for about cocktails.
I don't think people are going there enough. I'm going to go with my ice cream parlour idea. That's what I'd like.
Yeah, but...
I would still get... Okay, I'll get rid of the chip shop and put an ice cream parlour in, even though there's not actually enough room because the chip shop's tiny.
Or
what about, like... because of where it is, what about a little chemist or something? Because it's to go on to the medical centre.
Well, that would be dramatic, wouldn't it?
That could lead to like a poisoning storyline or drug-related storylines or something.
Yeah, people going to get their pregnancy tests.
Because I tell you what, since we've had a chemist onto the side of our doctors here in Southampton a year or so ago, it's been so useful.
That we've got in
the doctor that I go to has now for the last 12 months.
Now everyone will know where you go to the doctor.
I don't care. He's got a pharmacy built next to it, and it's so blimmin' useful.
It's like, why did you not think of this before?
And that's what they could have. They go out of the medical centre and into the pharmacy.
Alia, what's this prescription you've got for birth control?
Exactly. And it's
and Alia can say, actually, just so you know, it's not just birth control. It also regulates my periods, you patriarchal dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's going to be... No. Ice cream parlour, knick-knack shop, get rid of the chippy. Right, next...
Cream parlour that also is a pharmacy that they can say, these are the medicinal ice creams here. This is the aspirin sorbet. You might like that one. Good for thinning the blood.
Yeah.
Here's the Viagra one. This we don't give to women.
Maybe like, yeah. You know, they have their special flavours at the ice cream parlour, don't they? this is the Viagra one. Our blue ice cream this month. Gemma, what is our next question?
Ella wants to know, if you could be a fly on the wall in any house or place, where would it be and why?
This is quite an interesting question because as soap viewers, we kind of already are flies on the wall, aren't we?
Dirty flies just watching and enjoying
the whole idea
of
soap opera is kind of peering into somebody's house and just kind of watching how they get on. So... it's like, if I said, oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the Platt's house, it's like, I am a fly on the wall, and feel like I've been trapped in a spider's web there, and I'm not slowly dying a death here at the moment.
And the spider has the face of Gale.
I'm trying to think, where are there places that we don't see much of? And it's like, maybe I'd like to be a fly on the wall in Emily's house at the moment, because we haven't seen that yet. I've got a thing about Emily's house. I think that she's got something going on there. She's got some, like...
It's a grow house.
Maybe it is. She's got that. I just want to know what's going on in there, to be honest. And then if I was a fly on a wall in Emily's house, I'd be able to sit and watch all the box sets that she gets through.
We could watch Breaking Bad.
We'd be permanently entertained if I left
there. I would like to listen to what Emily says about these things. Can you just imagine? Oh, Norris.
She should be the next ITV.com online little stories.
She could be on Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe that nice teacher's...
They call it Bishop Box.
...become such a terrible man.
characters' bedrooms.
The boudoir you want to see.
Because they had that Ken and Deirdre's bedroom stories, didn't we? I think we only watched one or two of those.
I only watched one, I wasn't really that enamoured of it.
No, it's really not... But, I don't think I'd really want to see inside. Definitely not Emily Bishop's bedroom, anyway.
I would like to follow... Kirk around for the day.
Just to see what he gets out of the crazy things.
Just to see what he must talk to himself. Do you not think he's the sort of bloke who talks to himself?
Yeah.
Like, watch out, Kirk. You better be careful. Use the wrong kind of tape.
So you are a fly on the wall, but you can fly to different walls.
Exactly. I'm a portable fly.
Mm. I know where there's probably a lot of flies at the moment. That's inside Gail's manhole.
It's going to be buzzing around. She's going to be hearing it.
I'd be there feasting on Callum's corpse. Be there
rubbing your little legs, back legs together and brushing your face with all the poo.
And also, of course, if you were a fly down there, you would know whether Callum was there or not. Yeah, whether he's true. Actually still alive.
He's definitely not there.
It might be quite interesting to be a fly on the wall inside the medical centre as well, because, you know, like, patient confidentiality.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on. I want to know about all the different ailments that everyone's got.
See what Ken get. I bet Ken's got some things wrong with him.
Yeah.
He's going to end up with some STDs if he's not careful. Ness is definitely dirty, isn't she?
I'd quite like, breaking the fourth wall now, if we can, if the question allows it, to maybe, like, be a fly on the wall in, like, the producer's office or the writing room or something. I don't like spoilers, but, I mean, if I was a fly, I probably wouldn't.
I want to know, okay, anyway. Sometimes you want to know, what made them think this was a good idea?
Yes, exactly. We watch things and think, really?
Really, why?
Ken getting together with somebody already? Mm. But maybe if we were a fly on the wall when they came up with that idea, we go, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, okay, I see where they're going with it now.
Mm.
I also want to know whether they just sometimes just get the same script and just copy and paste it, especially with the plats.
Yeah. I know, what about the green room? That'd be quite good to be a fly on the wall in, because I bet there's a lot of bitching that goes in there.
I bet there is as well. I would love to see some of the, like, really down-to-earth, the people that play really down-to-earth characters, like, I don't know, Fizz or Roy or who's down to, like, Kathy or whatever, just, like, float in or diva-like, going,
yeah.
Darlings, I'm here at last. I have been gargling honey and lemon all day long. Show me the scripts.
Of course, we probably know who really would be the most diva-ish.
I think we all have a good idea, don't we?
But that might be quite
definitely
fun.
Not the people I just mentioned.
No, that would be quite fun to see. Or, like, in a publicity department, the PR or something, that would be quite fun.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to answer because we kind of already are flies on the wall, but there's a few ideas.
Or, like, in just watching characters when they're by themselves, because we really don't see that very much, do we?
That's like, sitting on the toilet, what do they do? Who
I
plays
don't
on their phone in the
want
toilet?
To see that.
Who uses their newspaper? Who just kind of sits there?
I think Steve sits there. And Rover sits next to him.
Looks up at him.
And Steve's just there flicking through his phone, looking at pictures of Rover. Going, oh, and then he sees Rover's looking cute and he goes, oh, that's a good one. Takes another photo.
I can just see Steve sitting on the toilet, just kind of going, like, what's my life come to? And sort of being miserable on the toilet.
I can see Carla reading the back of a shampoo bottle and just swigging out of a bottle of red wine.
No, she probably, like, reads Vogue on the toilet, doesn't she?
Mm.
Emily's there with her, like, portable DVD player.
Can't miss an episode.
Because now old people have to go to the toilet quite a lot, so it's probably inconvenient if you're into a show to have to be on the call of nature every time. No.
Mary there going, oh, what was that? Oh, it was me.
Right, let's move on and do the cabin now.
It's the cabin. It's time for the news. It's the cabin. It's time for the news. You can do the first bit then.
No, you do it.
It's the cabin. It's time for the news. And we've got a sad piece of news to start
with. Again?
Stephen Hancock has died.
Yes, and that's not necessarily a name that's going to be familiar to lots of modern-day Corrie watchers, but he was the guy who played Ernest Bishop, who has had quite a few name checks. Now we've still got Emily in it. And, sadly, Stephen died, I think
1st of November,
Monday.
And he was 85, sorry.
Yeah.
He was born on the 29th of November, 1929, in County Durham, and then, presumably with a quite sizeable gap, became head chorister at Durham Cathedral.
Yes.
I don't think it was straight from the womb.
No. He was very musical at school, though, apparently.
He acted at the Theatre Royal in Richmond, North Yorkshire, when he was at grammar school. And then during the 40s, he was a radio engineer in the RAF. Then he trained as an actor, and he worked in theatre in the 50s, including the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford.
Which is pretty good, treading the boards at the RSC.
Yeah, so he had three roles in Corrie. He was a baby shop assistant in May 1961. He was Leonard Spindley's election agent, Mr. Spinks, I love that name, in 1962, and then he became Ernest Bishop in 1967, and they played him between 1969 and 1978.
Yeah, so he's mostly remembered for his death, I think. We'll do a character profile of him next week, but I think that Ernest Bishop's death when he gets shot in Mike's factory is probably one of the more memorable deaths, because I think it was like the first major violent death that Coronation Street had ever had, and it was a must have been a huge shock to everybody when it happened. But it was all came
down. It was a warning to the other actors. They literally killed him.
Can't come back from it because he'd had a bit of a dispute with the producers, because he didn't think that it was fair that some of the long term cast were getting paid more than some of the more recent
or popular
members.
He didn't have got a better agent.
He didn't have a problem with his own salary, I think it's important to say. He was acting on behalf of some of the other cast who weren't getting paid as much as he thought that they should have.
You put your head above the parapet and then you get shot.
Yeah, exactly. So he was killed off, and apparently Stephen also went along and watched Ernest Bishop's funeral being filmed from like underneath some trees at the back of the graveyard, which has been quite odd.
Yeah.
He had some other TV roles as well. Since then, he was in Victoria Wood. He was on Sounding Brass and the Poirot as well.
Victoria Wood, she was good. I liked her.
I didn't like Victoria Wood.
What?
I do not find her funny.
Oh well, you're
wrong.
I
do not like Victoria Wood. He was in The Archers for a bit in the 90s as well. For 4 years, he played
someone.
I haven't got his name. And then he retired in 2004. Somebody on who's friends with my mum and dad sung with him once. We're talking about the fact that he was
in a choir,
and he put on Facebook today. A few days ago. Have you heard Stephen Hancock died? I remember singing with him. And then somebody else then replied to him saying, "Oh yeah, I've been in touch with his sister, and I passed on our condolences, and she says thanks for all your kind words and everything." So that's our little link to him.
The 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon effect.
That is a 7 degrees one, definitely.
So there you go then. That's our into Coronation Street, because that's you, your mum and dad, your mum and dad's friends. That's three, and then they know the sister. That's four, and then
they know somebody who knows the
all sister. Right, so that's five, and then you got six is him, and then seven is everyone who's ever been in Coronation Street.
Yeah, there we go. We're in.
Or is it 6 degrees or 7 degrees?
I don't even remember. I don't even know. He was it was married to a lady called Jocelyn Page.
I like that name. Do you like Jocelyn as a name?
It's all right. A bit old fashioned, isn't it? She died in 2012, and they had two children. One of them was called Gemma. I like that name.
I like Phyllidia.
Phyllidia was the other child's name, yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I think so. I don't know. So there was a press release a comment from Coronation Street. A spokesperson said, "We are saddened to hear of Stephen's death, and our thoughts are with his family and friends at this time. In Ernest Bishop, Stephen created a character that will always be remembered by Coronation Street fans. Ernest's dramatic exit from the soap is still one of the most memorable moments in the show's history." So,
and by the way, don't ask for more money.
Yeah, because this was gonna.
Because we'll bump you off.
Yeah, so that's sad, and obviously our thoughts and wishes go to his family as well. But we will we'll learn more about Ernest Bishop next week, because we're due for a classic character profile. Let's finish off with a bit of feedback.
It's feedback time. Jane, she says, Michael.
She liked my line about
Gretna Ginger. And then she said she agrees with me that she dislikes how often they use migraines as an excuse to get out of things. And she's had migraines for 30 years, and it's not an excuse.
How long have you had them?
Oh, I don't know, because I didn't know that they were migraines when I was younger. I just thought it was one of these... Well, when I was a kid, I was a tomboy. And I used to hate it when I read a book, and there was some kind of, like, swooning heroine who, in the face of adversity, would just faint onto a couch. But then I thought, I do that because when things, you know, when I get stressed out, I get really sick and throw up and I get a headache. Am I just a swooning heroine?
So would you say you're also a 30-year migraine sufferer, do you think?
It can't have been that long, can it? It must have been 20 years.
Yeah.
It's horrible. God. Anyway, Jane says, "Mary, I smiled when I realised she found a mate, although I'm predicting heartbreak." Very sad. And
do you think that he's going to end up like being attached to his mum, and he's not going to be able to let his mum go. And I know Mary hasn't let her mum go because she always talks
no,
about
No, but I
her,
think she would. She has, though, hasn't she? She doesn't see her mum anymore.
No, he's kind of seems to be beholden she'll, to his mum.
Maybe she'll try to encourage him to sort of shake loose and he won't.
Cut the apron strings.
He lives with her, obviously.
Mm.
So maybe that will be a good,
does he live
good
with
call.
His mum?
I don't know. He's remember. Definitely close with her.
Yeah, he's close, yeah.
Jane's character of the week was Alia and her makeup person. She looks terrible and I feel so sorry for her. Was that just a hot, just really harsh
was
comment,
that, was
Jane?
That a sly dig in there from Jane. Our email this week.
It
comes...
is good though. She does look very pale.
She does. She does. Yes. T-Vor, she says, "Happy Halloween." I wondered about the gym ownership after Kale died because we were talking about this last week and how many percent does Gary now own. T-Vor says, "Cal was in the military, so he likely had a will and his children may jointly have inherited his share of the gym. But when the contract for a partnership was written up, there may have been a provision where Sharif inherited Cal's share or the shares were redistributed to the remaining partners." This is sounding like a bit like one of those factory business storylines that we don't understand,
yeah, carry
isn't
on.
It? Gary said he got 25% of the gym, half of Sharif's share.
I think cases like this... It's become obvious to me now, and it's probably obvious to everybody else, but it's only just really dawned on me that they deliberately don't bother saying because they don't want to tie themselves up with things that they then go back on. Like, for example, who owns the cabin and Norris buying Emily's house, and it's
one day in the future,
just
they're going to say Gary's
it.
Got 49% or
yeah,
something. Just
there'll
be
some
be
kind of stupid
story,
plot that revolves around them fudging the numbers and not coming out and saying it. It's like, I always get surprised when they actually come out and say, like when they're talking about money, when they actually say a figure, like all £10,000.
They don't just write it on a piece of paper
and
show
just,
it to someone.
Just go, read this and pretend it's a big number.
The email carries on. "I'm glad the truth has finally come out." This is about Alia and Gary. "Because I was getting tired of Alia eye-rolling and being moody over the guilt. More and more, it was keenly obvious that Alia was not a happy bride. Why does everyone think it's just nerves? Sinead was right. Tell the truth or get over it."
Yeah, exactly.
"While it's very old-fashioned to most people that Alia wanted to remain a virgin before marriage, her religion is very important to her and her family. I thought it was really nice that Gary respected that. Alia's family are shocked and disappointed and shamed that she fell off the wagon so spectacularly, getting drunk and having sex. But let's not forget that if this took place in some countries, she could be stoned to death for it. Jamila died of cancer. It's been mentioned a few times." Oh, did she? I couldn't remember.
But just
that.
Because they said that, though, they could go back and sort of change their
Reckon.
Mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot that was what Jamila's thing was. "I don't think Gary and Alia will get back together," T-Ball continues, "because that really would be a repeat of Kevin and Sally." I think they're right now. I don't know why I said that last week. But I do think that Gary and Izzy could be a distinct possibility for the sake of Jake, to be honest. "I think Ken's reaching out to Audrey is more about
him." You forget that she said being unfaithful is more of a betrayal than a simple kiss.
You're right. I think
Ken... And also, there was already a prior relationship between Kevin and Sally, whereas God knows why Alia went off with Jason.
I don't know. "I think Ken's reaching out to Audrey is more about him being lonely. I really do, even if he may not realise it. Having said that, it's not really all that uncommon for older men looking for another woman after being widowed. While Ken is capable of looking after himself, I think he's lonely and wants someone to look after him."
Also, let's not forget that men of that age who are eligible bachelors are few and far between.
That's true, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe it's still
that. And he does have all his own hair.
He's got a lovely crop of hair, doesn't he?
He does.
That's what Nessa thinks.
Delightful.
And she would know because she's a hair lady. You can't trust Tracy to look after you, can you?
Tracy?
If you can.
No.
It's like he's living in there with Tracy and... Is Robert still living there?
Who knows?
At the moment. But I'm really surprised that... I mean, this storyline's been 2 weeks now and we haven't seen any of Tracy reacting to this. I'd really like to see.
I think she'd think it was hilarious, and I think she would probably try to sabotage it, and maybe she will end up sabotaging Ken and Nessa, which might then open Audrey and Ken.
I can't in any way see her reacting positively to the idea that her dad has already got a new girlfriend.
Yeah, she'll either think it's funny and try to sabotage it, or she thinks it's terrible and try to sabotage it.
I think she thinks it'll be terrible and try to sabotage it.
Yeah.
It's about time she appeared and had some kind of reaction to it.
Yes.
She also wondered whether Kevin's new premises under the viaduct was where Terry was trying to open a lap dancing club. I can't remember because That was when 2012 or so.
That was, wasn't, I thought, like, I can't remember whether that was in the between. Bistro was going to be.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I thought it was in between the joinery and the bistro. Terry was opening the lap dancing club there.
Because when the joinery got destroyed by the, by the, and then I'm sure that that's the when they did the Bohemian Rhapsody in the.
Yeah, but I can't. I understand. No, I don't remember. Maybe the. The strip dancing club was supposed to be taken over a couple of buildings. I can't remember.
Well, you need lots of room, don't you?
And I didn't even watch this, but I know that at some point Jim had a motorbike repair shop underneath the viaduct. And I don't know whether that was where the bistro is now, whether it was a bit further along.
But that does remind me that we should have said, when we said, what businesses would you like to introduce? Lap dancing club.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Because really, a lot of these women are working for minimum wage in shops. They could be getting raking cash in. And let's not forget that in this country, the lowest denomination of a note is £5, not dollars. No, £5 notes.
It's a good career. So Leanne would know what she was doing. Kylie would know what she was doing.
Alia would get drunk and go in there.
Yeah, she'd put it up pretty quickly, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, that wasn't maybe the
case. Sinead would go in there just for a stupid laugh. She would
get up on stage.
Mary would declare that when she was young, she used to go dancing all the time.
Rita would topple up there, wouldn't she?
Rita would be the cabaret singer. Yeah. And everyone would pay her to keep her clothes on.
Oh, we got another bit of Rita singing this week, didn't she? That funny scene when they go in, Sophie went in. There was a 21 today. You got the key in the door. It was a bit weird because they looked like they've been rehearsing it for like half an hour, and it was over in about three lines, wasn't it? T-Ball finishes by saying, "I think Amy's great too. Elle Mulvaney is a natural. I remember when Sophie was that age though, and she was very similar to how Amy is now, but she's grown up a bit on the shrewish side. Kind of rude too.
Little bit.
She used to quote Jane Austen and was very clever, but ended up dropping out of college."
Naughty.
But who knows?
Who knows what could happen? Could all go wrong.
Gemma, would you like to round off our episode with some messages from Rebecca?
Rebecca says, "Good episodes this week. I think Alia and Gary will get back together, but not re-engaged. I agree it is too soon for Ken and Audrey to get together, maybe in a year or so, like Kathy and Roy, but now it is too soon. Saying that, I don't mind the couple, just the timing is a bit early after Deirdre's death."
I don't even like the couple.
"Glad to see that Mary is getting some sort of storyline and can see the potential in a romance with the editor. Enjoyed the character profile on Amy. I didn't realise her and Simon weren't proper cousins."
I think I was right when I said that. I'm pretty sure I was right.
"We need Max to do their family tree."
I think they uploaded it on... Oh no, that was the platform. What am I talking about? Yes, they do.
"Although I wouldn't want to see them in a relationship. We'd be like Peter and Tracy in one, yeah. I hope she does stay around, though, as I enjoy her scenes with Tracy and Ken. Character of the week probably has to be Alia again. Everyone loves Alia this week. As I enjoyed that storyline the most this week, and even though I also enjoy Gary's scenes, Alia's acting impressed me more. I think she did really well this week."
Yeah, this was last week, wasn't it, obviously, we're talking about.
Yeah.
She had a good old cry, didn't she? She did better than Tyrone did on the crying.
It's funny,
I guess you can say that.
Because there are some characters where I really don't like them, but I like them. You know, like Alia. Alia really annoys me, but she's an interesting character.
Yeah.
And I like watching her scenes, and I kind of like her watching her ruining her own life. And I think she's a good actress. And there are other scenes where, other characters I mean, where I think that the actual person doing it is not doing a brilliant job, and that's why I don't like the character. You know?
She is quite interesting. I don't think Zalan's interesting. Sharif's not that interesting. Even Yasmin, I wouldn't say, is an interesting character. I just kind of like her.
Alia's the most complex out of all of the Nazirs at the moment.
She is. I mean, Yasmin isn't a complex character, I would say. No. But she's really, really good and just like the wise woman of the street, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we will call it a day there, I think. Thank you for listening to our lovely podcast for episode 174. We will be back next week for 175.
Yeah, thanks for filling that one in, Michael.
Thanks.
You can
just
email
in case
us.
You don't know your numbers. I'm a teacher, you know.
You can do consecutive numbers.
Yes.
Exactly. You can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com and tell us that we're wrong about everything and tell us
don't say that.
Stuff like we should be nicer to Alia, or
we just said some all right things about
Audrey
Alia.
And Ken should be married and have children somehow.
Well, you can say good things as well.
You can say things like, "Michael's so funny."
No, you don't have to.
You can find us online at conversationstreet.podbean.com. That's where we host our podcasts and stuff. You can listen to all the old ones on there, can't you?
I think so. Yes, you can.
Who knows?
I don't think you can get them all on iTunes. No, but you can't. You can listen to them all on our blog if you want to. I want to know how Amy's getting on, because she was listening back to all our old episodes.
She's probably never wants to speak to us again. Let's face it, if you've listened to every single one of our podcasts, we've offended you at least once in a really terrible, terrible way.
We must have done.
You can find us on Skype. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. And you really, all you have to do is type in Conversation Street.
If you want to get in touch with us, then you can.
You really can. There should be no reason that you can't find us somehow.
Even if you just want to say hello.
Say hello.
Quite nice.
We'll go, hello.
Hello.
And you'll be like, oh, they spoke to me. Like I do when I speak to people that do podcasts that I listen to. Oh, they know I exist.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we don't know you exist.
No.
We're just talking to our phones.
We'll be friends with all our listeners and say hello to you.
Hello. Anyway, should we say goodbye now?
Goodbye. After that, see you next week.
Goodbye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.